I have a memory, a clear memory, of applying slurry at about 3,000 gallons to the acre some years ago, and coming back up the field the next morning just to have a look around and seeing, I must say, thousands of earthworms across the top of the soil. Dead earthworms with no movement. I thought first of all that maybe these earthworms are just about to move, but there was no movement. They were all seen to be suffocated. It was a sad picture. I felt saddened by the whole picture. And wow, it did impact on me. The feeling was almost a feeling of grieving because of the loss of the earthworms, which I feel are so important in the whole system. It touched my emotions, I suppose, really. And that's why it resonates and stays in my mind, because it's very easy for me to visualize that picture again, you know. I questioned, well, how did people do it before? Because this wouldn't have happened before, you know. And I do now see the value of farmyard manure in terms of maybe being more easy for the soil and more natural for the soil and a better chance for the earthworms to gradually take it into the soil. And I do now appreciate the huge value of the microbes and the fungi. Yeah, my name is Sean O'Farrell. I'm a farmer here in the townsland of Cloncannon, at the postal address of Moneygall, Ross Gray, County Tipperary, very close to exit 23, Moneygall, the Obama Plaza, on the M7 motorway. I'm farming 23 hectares or 60 acres. It's something I really enjoy doing, working with nature to grow good quality food. I think it's key for community, for individuals and for community into the future. If I was to try to give you a picture of the farm, there's about 10 different fields nicely divided with fairly mature hedgerows that have a good structure, a good species mix of many different native trees. There's a fine example of a ring fort on the farm, ponds, and I have planted in native trees. Also, of course, the main enterprise is a suckler cow herd, taking the offspring to weanling or yearling stage. I keep some organic free-range pigs, broilers during the summertime, and grow potatoes and quite an extensive range of vegetables.
Take it easy now.
We're just going along by the garden here. Along here we have some Uncle John's kale, some beetroot, some mixed salad, some carrots, parsnips. All the peas are finished now. Some broccoli here. And last week we finished harvesting the potatoes. I sell some in the local market, and then I have private customers as well. So I might go up here to the pigs. I have just two sows. They're a cross between a Duroc and a Tamworth. I have a love of pigs, really, because I work with conventional pigs farming for 15 years, so I have a fondness for the pig. In terms of marketing the organic pork and bacon, it's a bit slow, and I put it down to the fact that with the population size of Ireland, we don't really have enough people that are prepared to pay what's needed to keep an organic pig enterprise working, like, you know what I mean? Hi guys, they're looking for a bit of food, yeah? They're fed already today, but of course they would eat food four times or six times a day if they got it. That's it now. Okay lads.
My overall philosophy in terms of farming, whether it be for the growing of the food or also even for the wildlife value of the farm, I think the foundation really and truly is in the soil and nurturing and feeding the soil. Yes, that will bring about, you know, the healthy food that I mentioned that for the animals, and hopefully you might have memories yourself of seeing animals foraging in hedgerows for herbs, so they know where the medicine cabinet is, and this is so important for man and beast, you know. Yeah, the geese here are just, I suppose, an additional part of the enterprise. They're meant to be a little bit of entertainment for the visitors coming onto the farm. I did hope I would get goslings, but there's somebody not functioning within the team there. So that's a story. But you know, they know strangers. They know strangers straight away, and they start making quite a bit of noise. Like, you know what I mean? Absolutely. And they have very good hearing, I think, you know. Yeah, yeah, they're good watchdogs, as people used to always say, you know. Absolutely, yeah. I didn't always farm like this. Myself and my father bought this farm when I was 21 years of age. At that time, I was working off the farm in a different industry. And my father was farming the land. I eventually bought up my father's share, continued to farm conventionally for some years, maybe about 6 years or thereabouts. But I was questioning a number of things. I was questioning impact on the environment. I was questioning different costs, like input costs, like veterinary and fertilizer costs. The diversity of plant species in the sward was something that I was maybe a bit concerned about too. Like, first of all, I did a diploma course in environmental conservation in UCD, and in 2007 and 2008 I did a 1 year taught master's in biodiversity and conservation. And I have been engaging with different people in my local area that are real enthusiasts for nature, and they have inspired me as well and shared their knowledge. And so now I made that transition to more eco-farming.
Asher, you know, since I raised these from piglets, you know, they have a great connection with you, like, you know what I mean? A bond, you know, and you know, they communicate with you type of thing, you know. And they scratch off of you, and they, you know, they search your pockets even. Honest to God. Come on. Come on, guys, you'll get the next treat today. They come around now in a second and they'll all get a bite there. Yeah. Yeah, so we have just come across about 40 metres from to the south of the ring fort, and then suddenly the land drops down. It drops down at surely 20 metres nearly. It's a sudden decline. Say 10 years ago, and all along before, of course, there was a kind of a wishish area along here. Natural springs coming from the base of this higher ground. And then I seen an opportunity in that to create some ponds within this, and hope without doing any habitat destruction, but create additional habitat. So what we did was we created two ponds there. We bought a 4-inch pipe from the nearby stream there. So the pipe comes from the stream into the ponds and fill the ponds, and then there's an overflow back into the stream again. So you get duck. Then in terms of mini bees, you're going to get the pond skaters on the top and the whirligig beetles. You'll get damselflies and dragonflies flying around. Underneath, you'll get a water boatman. You'll get you'll get small, even little brickeens, as we call them in this part of the country, little fish. You, thank God, we get lots of tadpoles there. There are a different range of beetles, the great diving beetle and other beetles, and some, yeah. It's the biodiversity value and again, that web that I speak about, the interconnectivity, because some creatures will live in the ponds or in the streams for quite some time. They will emerge as adults, as flying insects, and are food source for the birds. And those birds are food source for the kestrel or the sparrowhawk or whatever. Okay, and not to forget the creatures by night, the barn owls and the bats. The bats will hunt over this by night because the moths and the flying insects will be out hovering and flying around and so forth. Like, so yeah, so there's that web that's contributing to the farm, you know.
If the scientific research is showing that the organic matter levels are going down in the soil, if the scientific research is showing that so many bird populations, insect populations, you know, amphibian populations, if all these creatures are all, the populations are all going in the wrong direction, You know, it's not really, it can't be classed as being sustainable. So we need to question that, our system of operation.
Come on, lads. Come on, lads, come on. So yes, I have a 20 cow, sucker cow herd. So it's quite different to dairying in that once the calf is born, it stays with its mother right through until it's about 9 months old, and I gradually wean it from its mother at that stage. For the calf is getting its mother's milk, and it's going to be a better calf. Like, you know what I mean? There's no doubt about that, like, you know. But so then I gradually wean them, and I, as you see, I'm bringing along some food with me at the moment, a supplementary organic food, and the calves are introduced this for, I suppose, at least 6 weeks before I wean them, you know, and then they're less dependent on their mothers then at that stage, like, you know. Selling off the farm is what I try to do, because to be honest, I have a fresh weight, and I have you know, less fees and things like that, you know. Just as we walk across this 8 acre field here now, thankfully I have a good build up of grass after the difficult year that it was for everybody, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to keep my cows and calves out until maybe at least the third week in November, which will be great in terms of keeping my costs down over the winter time. The hedgerows, this field here, and many of the fields, the animals have actually got great shelter from the winds, and actually even this year protection from the sun, you know. So the hedgerows are providing a very good service there in that sense, like, you know. I see the importance of having two things within a hedgerow: species diversity and structural diversity. So actually, if we look up there and you see that huge big ash tree, you know, you're going to get the song thrush singing at the top of that. That's where it likes to be, you know what I mean? The blackbird will be maybe on the top of the whitethorn, and the different birds will be on different levels. So it's important that you have that you have species diversity and structural diversity. That's what I mean by the high tree and the low tree. And if you have a little bit of an A shape to your hedge, all the better, because you get the ground flowers and all of those additional benefits. Cutting them, I am not so much in favour of the flail, except for the roads. I think, there's a lot of potential for damage. Okay, yeah, if you want to get them into an A shape, you can maybe trim the sides a little bit every 3 to 5 years rotation type of thing around the farm. Do a bit here and there, you know, just to keep the vegetation back in. If you could do as farmers did before, maybe some years, maybe lay down a little bit of a branch or stem and rejuvenate that hedge, you know, and let it grow back up again. If you have a good hedgerow, you have a food source for biodiversity right through the year, from the early flowering ones, like the willows or whatever, right through to the late with the ivy and so, you know what I mean? With the white thorn and the black thorn and the bramble and the elder, you know, all different times. I only know the farmer that was here before me, the farmer, a Tierney man that myself and my father bought the farm from. I don't know the generations of farmers that were before him. I don't know the generations of farmers that will come behind me, like, you know what I mean? So that's why I like to plant in the trees, put in the ponds, you know. It's all for my fulfillment as I age on the farm, but for future generations and whoever will manage the land after me.